This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف صدق الله العظيم Respected elders and brothers, as we are aware, in our country, in August, we have a public holiday known as the Right of Women, the Women's Day. And that, inshallah, will happen next week, Thursday. And on that particular regard, I felt that maybe people will be talking much in the media, etc., about the rights of women. And therefore, today, we will speak about the rights of women. As it is, it's a month of August, and some would sarcastically say that in the month of August, sometimes it is hot, sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is windy, very, very familiar. Nevertheless, we all, when we speak about the rights of women, we have to understand that Islam has brought about a revolution in terms of the rights of women. If you have to look previously with regard to what the rights of women were and how they were regarded, there is no doubt that Islam had brought about a revolution. In Hinduism, for example, women were regarded to be subjugated, and one of the most shameful type of practices that you could ever find was that of, you know, where when a woman's husband died and he was cremated, it was regarded to be honorable for a woman to put herself in that particular fire for her also to be burnt. This was the way that a woman were regarded to be, not even regarded to be a person in her independent right. Aristotle, the famous, you know, poet, philosopher, he used to say that the women are a freak of nature. Since you could not get the perfect human being, then the result of it was a woman, and her faculties are intrinsically deficient. But this is what, you know, Aristotle. Similarly, non-complementary attributes and statements can be found in Christianity and Judaism. Even the Western world that today we regard it to be the gold standard with regard to the rights of women, it might be interesting for us to reflect that up till 1632, the English law declared that which is the man is the man's, his wealth and his possession. That which is the husband's. And that which is the wife's is also the husband's. So how we normally make a joke, what is mine is mine, what is yours is ours. You know, now this was a situation with regard to what was the situation. Even today, you know, apparently it might look very glamorous with regard to the rights of women. But if we have to reflect and say, is the woman really given her right as an independent human being? Today what has happened is, she only gains respect and dignity to the extent that she resembles or comes into the realm of a man. And her dignity is judged by her achieving that particular type of respect in the realm of the men. And that is so unfortunate, because together with all other responsibilities, she's also supposed to prove herself in that particular realm. Islam has not granted her such injustice and such type of tyranny, as I will go on to explain. Agle hafte wo ہماری آج چھٹی ہے, خواتین کا دن ہے, اس مناسبت سے آج خواتین کے حقوق پر بات کروں گا. اسلام نے خواتین کے حقوق کی نسبت سے دنیا میں انقلاب لے کر آیا. اسلام سے پہلے ان کو کوئی حیثیت نہیں تھی, اسے بیکار شے سمجھا جاتا تھا. اسلام کے بعد ان کو وہ حقوق دیے گئے ہیں کہ جو ہے نا وہ پہلے ان کو زندہ دفن کر دیا جاتا تھا, لیکن اسلام کے بعد نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اپنی بیٹی کے احترام میں کھڑے ہو جایا کرتے تھے. دس از اے ریمارکیبل ایسپیکٹ وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو اسلام. بیفور اسلام دس واز اے سچویشن, اینڈ آف کورس وین وی ور ٹو ڈسکس اینڈ ڈسکس دا ایسپیکٹ آف اگنورنس, اینڈ ون امیج کمز ٹو آور مائنڈ. واٹ از دیٹ امیج؟ دیٹ پیپل یوز ٹو بری دی ڈاٹرز الائیو. یا اللہ, دے یوز ٹو بری دی ڈاٹرز الائیو. دیکھیا ہے قلبی رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, ون ڈے کیم ان دا پریزنس آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ہی کیم ٹو ایکسیپٹ اسلام. سو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم وین ہی ایکسیپٹڈ ہز اسلام, دین دیکھیا آسکڈ, یا رسول اللہ, ول اللہ فور گیو آل مائی سنز؟ سو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ, ان الاسلام یہدم ما کان قبلہ. اسلام وائپس اوے آل دا گناہ اینڈ سنز دیٹ یو ہیو ڈن پریویسلی. سنس یو ہیو ایکسیپٹڈ اسلام, اللہ ول فور گیو آل یور سنز. دیکھیا سیڈ, یا رسول اللہ, Are you sure this will happen? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, Dihya, it is sure. Why are you asking? Ya Rasulullah, I buried 7 of my daughters alive. 7 of my daughters I buried alive. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started weeping. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam waited for a while and said, wait, Allah Ta'ala will send down a wahi. Allah Ta'ala send down a wahi that if Islam wipes away kufr and disbelief, Allah will wipe away this sin also after accepting Islam. Islam wipes away everything that was done in the past. So then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wept and made dua again. Ya Allah, if Dihya, by one kalima is shahadat, you can wipe away his guna and sins of burying 7 daughters alive. Ya Allah, you forgive my ummah who make the kalima and repeat the kalima several times in their lives. This was with regard to what happened. And after Islam, what happened? After Islam, that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be sitting in his room, when Hazrat Fatima used to come in the room, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to get up. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to kiss her on the forehead, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to put her next to himself. Before Islam, she was buried alive. After Islam, the Prophet of Almighty Allah used to get up in respect of his daughter. This is Islam. What has Islam taught? Islam has made mention that Islam has given equality in terms of human worth and dignity and accountability of deeds. So whatever a man does, he will be held accountable by Allah. Whatever good he does, Allah will reward him. Whatever wrong they do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them to task if he wishes. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever does righteous deeds, be it male or female, ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, they are believers, Allah will give them the best of rewards. Here in this world, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah will reward them in the year after. So there is, as far as human dignity, as far as accountability, as far as rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a complete equality with regard to men. However, having said that, and then of course there are many other aspects that Allah Ta'ala has given her, that particular type of right, the right to contract, enterprise, dispose of her property, her wealth. Islam has given her the right to own property, to dispose of her property, to dispose of her wealth. No one has got the right to interfere in that, not even the husband, not even the father. She can, and it might be recommended that she makes mashwara and consults, but she can take her wealth and do whatever she wants without anyone interfering with regard to that. Her life is as sacred, if not more sacred, than that of the husband or that of the men. Because in war, we, for example, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he told the people, when you go out in war, don't kill women. When you go out in war, don't kill women. So her life is as sacred, if not more sacred. After making mention, she has got the right to ratify her own marriage. In Islam, it is not permissible to get a daughter married without her expressed approval. You cannot force. You can arrange, but you cannot impose upon her. You can tell her, oh my beti, oh my daughter, I think this particular boy is good for you. But if she says no, you got no right to make her a nikah. So this is the rights Islam has given her. Does this mean that everything is the same? There is equality in terms of humanity, in terms of dignity. There will be a difference. It's not sameness. There is a difference in terms of her rights, or maybe not her rights, her functions, her duties, her tasks, what is expected from her. And for us to understand this, let me give you a small, you know, explanation. They say equality is a very slick and a very catchy slogan. What does equality mean? Equality means, in mathematics, if two variables are equal, then one can be substituted for the other without any difference in the results. So if you put in a column 2, and you put in another column 2, there are two variables. And what is 2 plus 2 is 4. So if you have to change this 2 and put it into the other column, there will be no difference in the end result. It will still be 4. That is what equality is. So if we take men and women are equal in that particular regard, then a man can do everything a woman can do and vice versa. That such equality is absurd. We can easily understand that. So a woman will fall pregnant. And if you want to be equal in every sense, equality in this particular sense, the way I made mention with regard to the equality, in a mathematical example, then if equality is like that between men and women, then, you know, next time, you know, in your marriage, the woman will say, by the first pregnancy is mine, the next pregnancy you take over. Huh? Such particular type of equality is absurd. Everyone can understand that. It is like this example. You go into an orchard and you see different types of flowers. You see the rose, you see the tulip, you see the daffodils. Now, no one will ever say that these type of flowers are unequal. To say that they are unequal is simply confusing the matter. They are equal in terms of being flowers. They are different in terms of their beauty, their color, their fragrance. Allah Ta'ala has created men and women equal in terms of human dignity. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given them different types of tasks and functions according to their temperament, which is suited to their temperament, which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of men and women, knows best what is suited to each and every one of us. This is the reality. Islam ne auraton ko insani huquq aur muhasaba mein mardon ke barabar rakha hai. Farayz mein Allah ne mard aur aurat ko, lekin farayz aur apne kaam mein Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala ne mard aur aurat ko mukhtalif qisam ke shoba diye hai. Aur ye koi na insafi nahi hai. Misal ke taur par hum kehte hain phool ki khushbu aur khoobsurti mukhtalif hai. Unka takawul nahi kiya ja sakta hai. Ye mukhtalif hai. Aur ye kehna ke jo hai mukhtalif phool jo hai na ye barabar nahi hai, ye to koi aqal ki baat nahi hai. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made this particular aspect with regard to equality in terms of human dignity, in terms of contract enterprising, in terms of her worth as a human being. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given her certain types of functions which are most suited to her, which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows that which is best. Now, for example, just to give you an example, Islam does not impose upon a woman that she must behave like a man, or she has to compete with men in the field of this particular aspect, that she must become like a man to be respected and dignified. And this is what's happened today in the world. That she, you look upon her and say, you must be able to bring about the same amount of money at home. You must be able to bring about the same amount of worth. You must be able to, you know, accumulate that amount of wealth. First of all, Islam, may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, you know, Allah has given us such a great deal. And may we thank Allah Ta'ala. We'll never be able to thank Allah Ta'ala sufficiently for this. Allah has never put upon woman the burden to care for herself. Allah has never put upon the woman in Islam the burden for her to care upon herself. Because that will make her vulnerable. Therefore, in Islam, it is a responsibility of the nearest male relative to care for the woman. If before she gets married, it's a responsibility of the father to look after the daughter. After she gets married, it's a husband's responsibility. And when he does that, he is doing her no favor. And many times we throw that to our woman and we say, you know, I'm looking after you and I'm doing this for you and I gave you this and that. You are fulfilling your responsibility. Auraton ka jo na huquq mein se ye hai ki aap jo hai unko unki dekhbhal rakhe, unke jo na zaruriyat ko jo na aap usko pura farmaye, aur usko pura farmane ke liye ye aap unke upar koi karza nahi de rahe, ye jo hai na ye aapke haq hai, unke haq hai, ye aapke upar aapki zimmedari hai. It's your responsibility that you look after her. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, afzalu dinarin yunfiquhu rajul, the best of dinar that you can spend is the dinar that you spend in looking after your wife and your children. The best of dinar. Better than giving in charity also. Yes, after you have fulfilled that which is compulsory, then by all means you can give charity. But before all of that, Allah Ta'ala says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. It is you are in authority because you are supposed to spend your wealth upon your wife and your children. So Allah has never made a woman, you know, this particular aspect of vulnerability that she must take care of her own needs. The husband, the father, and sometimes we don't realize it. If something happens and a woman is divorced, then it is the nearest male's responsibility to look after that particular woman. So if, for example, if she gets divorced, then the children. If the children are small, the brothers. In our society, it doesn't happen. But this is an Islamic law. Islam has never made a woman vulnerable that she must take care of her own needs. Now, in this particular regard, you find in the Western world, because she's in this situation, she becomes vulnerable. Look at how women are selling themselves many a times their bodies because they have to look for the, and care for their own needs. Islam has never made the zulm upon her. Islam has given her a life where her needs are supposed to be fulfilled. And look at how Islam, today we see many beautiful English sayings, but we don't find the manifestation of that anywhere but in Islamic teachings. You find they said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And sometimes they say, if you educate a man, you educate an individual. You educate a woman, you educate a nation. But where is it in all other civilizations? Now women are competing with men in the workplace, in the corporate world. I'm not saying it's not permissible. Woman, depending upon their situation, if there is a need, there is no one to look after her, she wants to render her service for the sake of the community, that's a different matter. But it is not her primary responsibility. She doesn't have to do it. It's not compulsory upon her. It is compulsory upon the men to look after the woman. Even this particular matter in Islamic fiqh, even if the woman has got money, then too it's a responsibility of the husband to look after her. That is why you see, a small child one day came to the father and said, oh my father, how much does it cost to get married? So the father said, oh my child, I don't know, I'm still paying. I'm paying all the time. This is the reality. And look at how Allah Ta'ala has given her with regard to motherhood. Al-jannatu tahta aqdamik ummahatikum. Under the feet of the mother lies Jannah. Under the feet of the mother lies Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much type of... That's why a person came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, who must I show the greatest amount of love to? Who is deserving of my greatest amount of love, kindness and consideration? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. Then he said, ya Rasulullah, then after that, your mother. Thereafter he said, then ya Rasulullah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. Three times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then afterwards he said, then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your father. I like to make mention of this. I've said it many a times. That beautiful statement of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, who makes mention that one day the father and the mother, they were competing with one another who does more for the child. Huh? You know, Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, makes mention that Babu apne zoja so kehne laga ke main jo hai na bachcho ke bare mein main zyada karta hu. To maa ne kya jawab diya? What reply did the mother give? Don't you dare compare your efforts with my efforts. I bore the child in great amount of difficulty. I kept the child when it was heavy. You as a father kept the child when it was light. You kept the seed of the child for a short period of time. I kept the seed of the child for 9 months. You as a father dropped the seed of the child in a fit of pleasure. I dropped the seed of my child in pain that was nearing death. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَسَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Be very kind towards your mother because she bore and she gave birth to you in great difficulty. And this is what Islam had said with regard to women. Look at what Islam had said with regard to women. The paradise of her children lies at her feet. The feet of whom? Not the father. Under the feet of the father is only a champal. Under the feet of the mother is Jannah. The righteousness of a husband is to be judged by his kind treatment of his wife. And to bring up his daughter in a loving, caring manner assures the father protection from the fire of Jahannam. This is the right of woman in Islam. The closest woman to you would be your mother, your daughter, and your wife. What does Islam say? Jannat lies under the feet of your mother. What does Islam say? Khiyarukum khiyarukum li ahli. O kama qal, the best amongst you are those who are good, not to your friends, to your wife. The best amongst you are those. That means the righteousness, the conduct of the husband is to be gauged, how he deals and how he interacts with his wife. And do you know, the father, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, one day a woman came, she had two small daughters, and she came and she was very hungry and she complained and said, I haven't given my daughters, you know, food for so many days. So Hazrat Aisha said, in the house there was only one khajur. I gave it to her. She broke the khajur. She herself was hungry. She gave half to one daughter. She gave one to the other daughter. She herself did not take from that khajur. I told Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he came, this is what happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever has any difficulty in bringing up daughters, Allah will grant him Jannah. To look after your daughters is a means of gaining Jannah and protection from the fire of Jahannam. Huh? This is a reality. Aulaad ki jannat maa ke kadmo ke tale hai. Uske shohar ka taqwa, uske suluk par munhasir hai. Beti ki pyar aur muhabbat se parwarish karna, ye baap ko jannat ka parwana milta hai. Huh? This is a reality. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us with regard to these particular aspects. Sometimes especially we interact a lot, mostly with our women, with our wives. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, yes, sometimes they might be difficult. Sometimes they might have different moods. We have to take that into account. But Allah Ta'ala takes into account a woman's moods. Once a month, Allah Ta'ala makes it, she doesn't have to read salah. If in that particular type of situation and state that she is, she doesn't have to keep fast. When Allah Ta'ala takes into account her moods and her situation and her weaknesses, why can't you as a husband take that into account? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day going, and there used to be a person by the name of Anjasha. So Anjasha used to sing very beautifully because he used to take the camels, and they, when they used to sing beautifully, you know, he used to, and because he used to herd the camels, and sometimes they used to go fast. So one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Anjasha, rifqam bil qawarir. Oh Anjasha, drive slowly with the camels. Do you know who is sitting on those camels? They are women. They are qawarir. Do you know what is a qawarir? So qawarir, just to give you an example, is a very expensive glass chandelier or very expensive glass item that you have in your house. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, rifqam bil qawarir. Oh Anjasha, go slowly and be kind and be soft. These women are like qawarir. They are like women. They are like, you know, expensive glass items. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَظُوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It is the rahmat of Almighty Allah that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kind and compassionate to his wives. If he would have been vulgar, he would have been harsh, he would have broken, people wouldn't have come around him. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to treat our women, with the utmost amount of kindness and compassion. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah Ta'ala wants to bring barakah in a home, when Allah wants to bring barakah in a home, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that home full of kindness and compassion. Not full of, you know, full of harshness and vulgarity and swearing and shouting. That's not the way of us. So in this particular regard, we find even our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deal with situations like that. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have the utmost amount of kindness, compassion to his wife, to such an extent that I made mention once, and I will conclude with this, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, I know when you are very happy with me and when you are not in such a good mood with me. So Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, how do you know this? He said, when you are in a good mood with me, then you say, you know, you say things like, and in your conversation, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when things are not going well between us, there's a slight argument, there's a slight dispute which will happen. And Allah Ta'ala says, fa in karihtumunna, if you dislike something of your life, look at the good things. If there is some sort of argument, then you say in your conversation, by the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah has given us this gold. Allah has given us this gold in terms of the rights of women, in how to deal with them. Why should we barter and change that for glitter? Glitter means this apparent gold. Allah has given us real gold. This is the right of women, how we are supposed to treat with her. This is a virtue. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has looked upon her in Islam. May Allah give us a tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.